Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, your home for all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and so much more. Join Derek and Ian as they tell tales to astonish along this journey into mystery. Grab some snacks and settle in because Paperweight Entertainment starts now. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast. I'm your co-host tonight, Derek Hoskins, and tonight we are talking about Loki Season 2, Episode 2, Breaking Brad, which is one of the better titles ever of any TV show, but luckily I'm not alone to talk about this tonight. I have with me my good friend and yours, the glue, the person that holds all this together, the most amazing, wonderful, talented, and might I say gorgeous human being that I've ever met, Mr. Ian Torrance. Ian, how's it going, buddy?
You might say gorgeous. I don't know if you'd be referring to me.
I mean it. I meant every word.
Oh, bitch. You know, I did not know that this episode was titled Breaking Brad, and now I like it that much more.
It's such a great title.
I'm having a good time so far tonight, so don't ruin that.
I'm going to try really hard not to. Stuck on something. There we go. I'm going to try really hard not to. Since most of you drop off after a couple of minutes, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and ring the notification bell, especially if it's your first time here. Subscribe, and you can see more of our beautiful faces and as we talk about Loki and other fun things. Maybe something spooky in a week or so.
Ooh,
look at you. Not planned. All right, so, like I said, excuse me, we are talking about Loki Season 2, Episode 2 today. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to say what everybody's thinking. I liked it. Matter of fact, I really liked it. This episode was great. I had so much fun with this episode. Ian, what did you think about it?
I loved it. I did.
I knew you did.
I loved it. I'm loving this series so far. I think it's just as good as the first season so far. It's got me intrigued. It's got me pumped. I'm ready for episode 3 already. I say already because we're one behind,
right?
And as of this recording, we've got about 50 minutes up. No,
40 it's on
minutes. 40 it, minutes.
No, it's been on already. It drops at 9 o'clock.
That says 9:19. Never mind. I don't know what I'm looking at.
Yeah. So as of recording this episode, the new episode's out now. So look for that review next week. God, Disney Plus with your stupid Thursday night release. But yeah, so I really enjoyed this episode too. I know I said that already. I'm mumbling and I'm rambling. The ladies are thirsty after this episode. I have to tell you that. Apparently. For reasons that I can't quite understand, people find Tom Hiddleston very attractive.
Really?
And I don't get that. I gotta be honest.
He's using his magic.
It is. It's just magic. So there are thirst traps going around because of this episode. And we'll talk about it. But while we're talking, I want you to think one specific scene in this episode has spawned thirst traps on TikTok and YouTube. So you think about that while we discuss. So in this episode, we jump onto the sacred timeline back into the 1970s at the film premiere of a movie called Zaniac, which is not a horror movie. It's an elevated thriller. Go ahead and get that right. And we come across Hunter X5, who was such a complete and total douche in the last episode. And guess what? Still is. But that did lead to a really fun chase scene where we got to see Loki actually using some of his powers. We didn't really get to see a lot of that last season. It felt like he didn't get to use a lot of his powers because he was either in the TVA or he was kind of out of his element and doing other things. But in this, he got to be intimidating, and I love that. Did you like the fact that Loki actually got to kind of feel like Loki in this one?
I will touch on the first part you said, Tom Hiddleston being a heartthrob. I personally like the short-haired Tom Hiddleston better.
Agreed.
I do think he's a very, very good-looking man with the short hair. And when he's wearing, like, you know, like he'll always be wearing some sort of suit.
Like a really nice, he's always very well
always dressed. Always got a nice suit.
Yeah, like very well-tailored suit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I could see it. I don't agree with it being a thirst trap, like, in the series so far. Not that he's not still an attractive man. I just think the real live Tom Hiddleston is better looking than the Loki version.
Agree.
One man's opinion.
Agree 100%.
Now, with that being said, you asked me a question not about this man's charming personality or devilishly handsome good looks. And it was powers. Yes. I do like that he's using his powers a little bit more because he's in the real world a lot more here. And I think that before there was really no reason for him to use his powers a lot because they were trying to hunt down Sylvie for the most part. And then when they were together, they were in what's it called? The
Void.
The Void. Thank you. Sorry, a little kicking in my throat.
No, it's all right.
I do like the usage of powers. And Brad was you knew something was going on in the first episode when you were there, like being all whispery and stuff.
Right.
Never would have guessed this though.
No, I wouldn't either. Especially now that excuse me. Like I know we were just talking about the beginning of the episode, but I want to jump to the very end to go from these characters that were in the first season of Loki and the TVA pruning branches and pruning timelines and destroying people and sending people off into the void to get eaten by Eliath without a problem. Didn't think anything of it because they were doing their duty, to now have had their eyes open to see that, oh, these are people. Like, we're destroying lives. We're killing. There are billions and billions and trillions of people that were just murdered essentially with these timelines being pruned.
Do you agree with this decision on the new timelines being pruned the way they were?
Do I agree with it? I understand why they would want to do that.
I don't.
I understand why, because if Dox is working off of the old idea of what the TVA was and the idea of the sacred timeline, because she doesn't seem like she buys everything that everybody's saying.
Okay, so that's what I was kind of getting at is, but if you've been lied to this entire time and you know that there's some shady stuff going on and you know that that this whole thing has basically been a ruse, a sham the whole time, why would you make this rash decision to just be like, well, let's just destroy all the new timelines? It's like, what is that going to solve now?
Right.
And I get what you're saying. I get that, you know, the old way of thinking, the old brain is, well, this is what we did before. This is how we kept order. Yeah, but you just found out that was all horseshit.
The way that I saw it is, Dox reminds me of a zealot. Like, I feel like she's a zealot. I think that she's a believer no matter what. And this might piss some people off, but I don't care. Like, I was watching Jordan Klepfer, or Klepper, how you pronounce his name, for the Daily Show, that goes to all like the rallies and everything like that. He's like the man on the street for the Daily Show. He went to the most recent Trump rally, and that's one thing that he sees is like people that are really staunchly set with a candidate, like when it comes to just politics.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, they will twist their story around. No matter what new evidence they're presented, they will twist it around to be like, yeah, but it doesn't matter because he said this, so that's true. And so Doc strikes me as that true believer zealot that no matter what new evidence you present her with, she's going to fall back to what she originally believed, because I don't think her brain can actually allow her to believe that. Now, she's wrong 100%. I absolutely think that the way that they presented this at the end, where everybody was mortified and sad and downtrodden and everything bad, all the bad feelings, those were the right things to feel, because we were introduced to that as an audience in the first season, that clearly what the TVA is doing is wrong. And then we had it backed up at the end when you see that He Who Remains was just basically doing that to have his timeline be the only one that would continue on. So I absolutely think that it's definitely the wrong thing to do. But the reason why I think that I understand why Dox is doing it, even though she's 100% wrong, is that I think that she's just like a religious zealot that cannot function any other way.
I'll give you that.
She's a villain because of it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other way of putting it. She is a villain. Like, she was presented with evidence that her way of thinking was wrong and did it anyway. when well, it
that was my whole point is like the first episode, she just seemed like she was with them. She's like, oh yeah, you guys are right. You've really opened up my eyes. Anyway, I go prune all these fucking
right. Or she could just be evil. No.
Evil.
She could just suck. Some people suck. Brad just sucks. Like, let's go back to that. I really Loki and Mobius in this. I love they're back to their relationship because in the first episode we didn't get to see a lot of them together because Loki was time slipping. Seeing them back and just talking things through and seeing their relationship as it was at the end of season one, it just makes me happy. It's the backbone and the heart of this entire series. And I loved every minute of it. Them getting just sitting down and eating a slice of pie together. While Mobius talks about how, you know, he got upset and smacked Brad in the face, which I loved seeing Owen Wilson just pop him in the mouth.
That was fun.
He had it coming.
And Brad.
Yeah, I know. Did you expect him to be the one that would lose it in the interrogation?
I thought it made sense because of the way they were kind of making it seem like mm-hmm. Loki was the obvious loose cannon between the two.
Right.
I also couldn't help but think this is clearly Mobius's plan, and they're clearly like trying to pull the wool over this guy's eyes because Loki locks him out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, I can't get back in. Wow. The door's locked. Wow.
Wow.
And I thought, what door locks from the inside like that?
Especially in the TVA where you
got especially when that's like the prison.
It's like a holding cell.
It's like a holding cell. You stay in there. Don't you unlock
that door. Don't you unlock that door. Oh,
you're in
if you
trouble.
Unlock that door. I'm going to be I'm not going to be mad. I'm going to be disappointed.
So that's how I kind of figured it out. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. And then if it turns out that I was wrong and they really couldn't get in, I want to be very annoyed with that door. Who do I talk to about that? Obi, would he be Obi, the one that?
Yeah, Obi, fix the door. Oh my gosh. I'll get back to that. Yeah, I love the interrogation, the second interrogation scene. I really like the first one where Brad got under Mobius' skin, but the second one where Loki got to play the villain again. Because I really like anti-hero and like reformed Loki. I'm enjoying him, but I do miss Thor 1. And like Avengers Loki, where he's menacing and just kind of evil. I miss that Loki every now and again. So it was nice to get him to play that part, where he got to be menacing. He got to do that a couple of times in this episode. And that chase scene at the beginning, where he was chasing down Brad and really messing with his mind.
I want to speak on that. The chase scene, mm-hmm. I see it too many times, too often. A lot of Mission Impossible movies do that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how comfortable dress shoes are?
Thank you.
They're not.
They're not comfortable. Not even a little bit.
And when I watch these movies or shows and I see people in full-blown sprint chase mm-hmm. scenes in dress shoes, all I can think is, no fucking way. No way. No way you're
first
running
off,
that hard.
First off, you are not getting traction in dress shoes.
You're not getting traction.
Not that kind. Now, I know that dress shoes aren't like dance shoes. They've got some tread.
They
nothing
do.
Like that. You're not running
on
cobblestone
like
on a wet street.
No.
No. No, you're going to be slip sliding around.
The seam's going to blow out the sides of those things. Is that what you're about to say?
You're going
to
break a toe.
Yeah. You're going to roll an ankle. Forward. There's no support. No support.
To be fair, though, both of us are middle-aged men who are not the healthiest.
Oh, I'm going to get hurt putting them on. And, I'm just saying, even if I was in excellent shape,
yeah,
then I could
you
run
notice
that
Mobius
fast.
Didn't run that fast. Mobius feels like he's us. Like Mobius, yes. Mobius feels like he's us. He's like, I'm gonna give it my best, but I'm not trucking down here like I'm Tom Cruise.
I just, and that's all I could think about the whole time I'm watching these movies. I'm like, man, or shows for the matter, because we're talking about the show too. But I notice that every Mission Impossible movie, Tom Cruise is just. It's
and
in
he's
his contract that
in...
he has to run hard, and he's always in dress shoes. And I'm like, man, I get it because it's a part of the mission is to go out dressed up. They mm-hmm. had to show up to the movie premiere. They had to be looking snazzy. Tom Hiddleston probably wasn't supposed to shoot that day, and he was already wearing that. And they were like, works out perfect.
Tom, put your wig on. We got to go. Oh, but I'm in a tux. Perfect. Let's go.
Wait, that's a wig? Just kidding. before anybody's like, wait, what? You know, people out there probably are like, wait, what?
Wait, that's a wig? He didn't grow his hair out like that? No. Surprisingly, no.
You don't notice that he always has short hair when you see him? Never mm-hmm. that long? So that's my biggest gripe about Hollywood is the shoes. I know that's silly.
Well, like, I can give Mission Impossible a pass because it's like, okay, well, maybe they've got some kind of fancy, comfortable gel insert for these dress shoes for Ethan to be wearing. But this is like, well, I think it was 1977?
77, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I remember I wore shoes in the 90s that were not as comfortable as the shoes today. I cannot imagine what they were like in the mid-70s. So, yeah, I'm going to go with you on the shoe conversation. That might be the most hard-to-believe thing in this episode.
Even dress shoes that are slip-resistant that look like that still aren't that slip-resistant. I mean, you're going to slide, especially, like you said, running on cobblestone, down streets, down wet pavement. And I know what you're thinking, people. Get off the shoes already. I can't. It's all I can see when I'm watching the show. It's my God, Tom Hiddleston is going to snap an ankle. Yep. There's no way that I can take this scene seriously. An alien from another planet thing. A god, even.
But
the shoes is all I can think about.
To your credit, though, and I'll say this. When you're watching a fantasy or sci-fi, it's easy to suspend your disbelief for the clearly over-the-top things like a Norse god, like the TVA. You can suspend your disbelief for those things, but there has to be a level of realism. And unfortunately, with that level of realism comes some of the silly things that we latch onto. Yeah. And while did it ruin the episode for me? No. Did it ruin Mission Impossible for me every time that Tom Cruise is running? No, you still have fun with them. But at the same time, you're like, oh, yeah, this is a movie or this is a show with gods and monsters and magic. Shoes in the 70s didn't run like that.
No. And even if they got the suit today and the shoes and then went back, like if they were today's shoes and they just took them back to the 70s with them, you're not going to run like that. I'm sorry. I'm still on the shoes.
No, it's fine. I'm going to clip out this entire conversation. Just put it up on YouTube.
And you can't. Like, you should have at least edited in the sound of them clop, 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 clopping off there. Like a Shetland pony. You got a long face, like a goldfish.
Shetland pony. Oh my gosh! All right, we'll go off the shoes. OB was fantastic again for the limited amount of screen time he had in this episode.
He's nonchalant, like carefree, like as the alarm's going off mm-hmm. and he's just like, it's just another Tuesday. And then when the code doesn't work, he's like, oh no.
I think my favorite bit with him in this is when they come down with that modified temp pad. He's like, oh, I'm designing this to help the temporal loom be able to handle all this extra load. Oh, can you take a look at this? Sure. Do you think that this, you know, is more important than what's going on out here? I can't remember exactly what he says, and they're just like, no. And he goes, all right, I'll take a look. And he just sits it off to the side and goes back to his work.
Well, not only that, but Casey coming down and talking, and he's just like, the manual's like, you wrote this manual? Can I get you to sign it? Sure. She's like, I'm sorry, didn't you not just say we were all gonna die?
Yeah, I
did. Can that wait?
Which, by the way, was a great setup. I was wondering kind of where they were gonna go with that in the season, and the idea that he who remains or is going to be the only one to be able to get into those doors and like actually open those back up again is a great way to bring Jonathan Majors back into it with Victor Timely, I think is the name of the character he's going to be playing in this up in the season. Also, I had a thought. Sylvie has He Who Remains temp pad. I wonder if she'll have some way of doing something with that. I wonder if that's going to come into play later on in the season.
I like that her dream job is working at McDonald's.
I know, she looked so happy.
I know. I mean,
she was just smiling, having a good time. And Loki walks in and ruined everything, like he always does. Like the loser that he is.
Well, the part that pisses me off about her is A, her hair, and B, I get that she just wants to settle down and like have a life. I don't like her hair.
It looks so bad.
Terrible.
My God, the 80s sucked. I don't understand why 80s.
And then I was going to say, back. Don't get me wrong. I get it because she's in the 80s,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God. The 80s was terrible. No, the 80s was great. 80s fashion was terrible. 90s wasn't much better.
Eh, we're getting there. We're on the right track. So she caused all this.
Yeah,
it's all 100%. Her fault. And she's just like, I just want to live my life and I just want to be done. Like, you stabbed this man and set all this in motion, mm-hmm. and now you don't want a fucking thing to do with it. And then she's acting like Loki's the one that did something wrong. I don't understand that. He's like, you're the last person I want to see. She's yeah. like, yeah, leave me alone. I'm like, what did he do?
Yeah, it all off of her incorrect assumption in the end of season one, where she thought that he was just trying to take over the TVA, which he wasn't. He had genuinely changed and wanted to see and make sure that he did the right thing. And it was Sylvie's fault. All of this is Sylvie's fault. If she would have left it alone,
he would still remain.
He would still remain. Miss Minutes would still be creepy. Renslayer would still be there. Now, would it suck because the TVA is still pruning people? Yes, but it wouldn't be to the extent it is now. And then the audacity of this person to watch all of this happen, watch Loki and Mobius and B-52, I know it's 15, leave me alone, watch our last week's episode, to watch yes. these three work so hard and then coming through to the TVA and see everyone there working to try and stop this tragedy from happening. Her first response is, oh yeah, great protectors, TVA, this is the best you can do? Shut up and help! You did this!
You did this! You caused this panic. And that they're scared, they don't know what to do, so they're trying, like, some of them are just trying to revert back to their old ways and do all that they know, even though it's a stupid decision, it doesn't make any sense, they don't know any better.
It was
annoying. And I think that kind of, like, speaks to, like, society in real life in general, to, like, where, you know, your mind is one track and it's programmed mm-hmm. to do one thing. If you do the same thing over and over for years, it's a hard habit to break. And right. like you said earlier, it's kind of like a brainwashing thing to, like, especially politicians and stuff like that, to where you wholeheartedly believe in this cause and this person so much that you can't explain why. If somebody asks you logically, like, mm-hmm. what do you like about it? And they're just like, oh, he's cool. That is. Oh, well, you know, he said I should, so.
Right.
And like, right. There's no logical answer for why, like, you follow this person.
Yeah.
To the death.
And to murder.
Yes, and I think it's the same way in this show. Like, they're so used to, like, yeah, we had lives. And let's talk about that. I love Mobius as a character from season one now. Like, he's never faltered, and mm-hmm. I've always liked him. What I love the most about this season is when Brad was like, you know, don't you want to go back? And I think Mobius, or not Mobius,
but yeah, Loki asked him,
like, don't you want to go back? Don't you want to, like, know? He's like, no, it doesn't matter. This is who I am. This is my purpose. Yeah, but what if you had another purpose? Doesn't matter. This is my purpose now. Doesn't matter who I was or who I was going to be. This is who I am. And I really like that, because he's just like, what if I go and I really, you know, like it or don't like mm-hmm. it? Or what if I, like, felt like I'm missing out? And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, because, like, he could go back and he could live that life and he could get his jet ski and he could be happy. But he could also lose that in a matter of days, because if he's not with the TVA, and he's just one of the best lines of defense, the combination mm-hmm. of him and Loki, like, they clearly are a good team. So I think right. if he sat out and went to the timeline, like, you know what, like Sylvie's doing, like, I'm just gonna sit out and be happy, you're gonna lose everything anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree completely. Mobius is a great character, and I agree with his reasons for not wanting to go and see where he was or where he was from or what he used to be. So yeah, I agree with all that. I really loved this episode. I'm excited to see where we're going to go. I like that we ended it on a little bit of a cliffhanger with them getting a hit on Renslayer's location. I'm curious to see where we're going to end up. Are we going to get to see our first Kang variant in this episode or the next episode? I certainly hope so. I have a couple of questions. One, Was Sylvie trying to hit on that teenager?
It did seem a little weird, didn't it?
Did it seem like she was hitting on that teenager at the end?
Oh, is your mom coming?
Is your mom coming to pick you up? You want to go for a ride? Like, she's just sitting there looking all attractive except for her god awful haircut.
Mm.
Just laid back on the truck.
I was gonna say, don't get me wrong, I still think she's a very attractive woman. She's a very beautiful, very cute, pretty woman. And the haircut's not helping, but it's okay. It's the 80s.
Hey, remember the 80s? I'm wondering what they're gonna do with Sylvie in this season. Where are they gonna take her character? Because I can't imagine that she's going to be the brooding.
No, something's gonna angry. Happen. He saw her in the future.
Yeah, so I can't imagine they're gonna leave her the way that she is. Clearly not gonna be on the
sidelines too long.
Yeah, and I hope not, because I really like her, and especially her and Loki together. She and Tom Hiddleston, like we talked about last week, they just have such great chemistry together, and I love it when they're both on screen. Even in this, when she was really contentious and annoyed with him, it was nice to see them on screen together again. So I'm excited to see where they go.
Season one for me was very like mysterious, mm-hmm. and like, what's happening? You know, where's this going? What are they doing? Who's the timekeepers? Are they real? Is this whole thing just a sham? And I think that was very hard to top. And then season two comes out, and it does have the seriousness to it. It is still a mystery, but it's more chaotic and thrilling, in my opinion. You know, what's going to happen next, but not in the same tone that I felt the first season. This time it's just like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? Is everything going to crumble apart? Is everything, like, you know, they're just...
There's a looming threat in this one that there wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. There's no sitting back and relaxing and game plan and strategizing. They have to kind of do that on the fly. Now, they did do that a little bit when they went to have some key lime pie.
Which I loved it. And how they got there was great, too.
The scene, or you like key lime pie?
I hate key lime pie. I think it's disgusting.
Actually really like key lime pie. I've never seen key lime pie look like that.
What, with the green and everything like that?
Being that green.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I've seen it look like that. Either way, I'm not a big fan of key lime.
Let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. I should have said I've never had it like that what I should have said.
I haven't had it like that either. Maybe it's better that way.
I don't know. I like key lime pie.
But I don't care for key lime pie. But I loved that Mobius is just walking like aimlessly while Loki's trying to talk to him about to see if he's okay after Brad like provoked him in the interrogation, and they stop and he just turns around and looks at Loki and goes, where are we? I don't know. Where I was following you. Well, I was following you. You were in front of me.
Mobius, you were in front
you
of
were,
me.
You were in front of me. Like, you couldn't be following me. I was literally following you. I love their back and forth, man. I love their banter.
They have a good chemistry. They you would think that these two have been best friends for years.
Yeah, it's great. It really is. This show's so good.
And character development. Loki could not be trusted. Loki was a trickster, a villain. You know, we have seen him grow a lot, but that was a different Loki.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know like what you're getting out of this, because he's in season one, he was still trying to pull some tricks. He was still he was very mischievous.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very selfish. He was after one thing and one thing only, and he didn't care how he got it. So I do like that he went from that to Mobius, it's me, you can trust me. And they're working together, and now, like, even...
And Mobius does trust him.
Even B-52 had come around, and, you know, everybody's on board with Loki just freely walking around the TVA now.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's starting to trust him, and kind of, like, you know... You notice, like, when they were interrogating Brad, and he was kind of... Mobius was like, hey, calm down. She didn't say anything. She was kind of like, that's cool. Do your thing.
Yeah, she hung back. Which, by the way, that was the scene that has spawned a bunch of thirst traps, was him like towering over Brad talking all menacing, because I don't understand Dom behavior. I don't get that. I don't see why that's so attractive, but hey, whatever floats your boat, ladies and men. And we're not We don't discriminate here. Whatever you like.
Yeah, you like what you like, and that's okay by us.
I don't quite understand it, but I also don't understand the hair flip. You know what I'm talking about? The Loki hair flip? Where he's always, he'll like get hit, and he'll flip his hair back real fast.
Dramatically. And he'll always do that sigh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the season premiere of this, that should have been a drinking game. I think there's like 8 or 9 hair flips in that episode. Every time he time slips.
Oh, I don't think we mentioned that in episode 1, like how Obi was kept telling Mobius, come back, come back, come back. You can't save him. He's gone. No, no, no. Just give him another minute. Just give him another minute. He was not going to give up on Loki, man.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't going to give up on him. Never going to give you up.
Never going to let you down.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I think we'll cut this or else we'll just...
And hurt you.
Sorry. We'll just keep vamping and talking about how much we love this episode. I don't have any negatives from this week.
I don't understand the
other than the
about Tom Hiddleston that we start gushing over Tom Hiddleston.
That's true.
I like his eyes. I like his smile. He's got the perfect teeth.
Tom Hiddleston, I'll give you. Tom Hiddleston's a hoofer at heart. You ever seen that man dance?
A hoofer.
Little Chris walking. I'm a hoofer at heart. Oh my gosh. All right. Other than
you don't want no champagne?
Other than the shoes, I don't have any negatives about this episode. This episode was excellent. It'll be hard to top it, in all honesty, but I have a feeling they're going to do it, which I might watch that when we get off of here, since it's on now.
Probably will too. And then I have to watch The Fall of the House of Usher.
Oh yeah, I got to watch the next episode of that, which by the way,
I've just been wanting to watch it.
It's so good.
There has not been anything that man has put out that I've been like, that's awful. I will say there's one movie I didn't care for. Oculus.
Which one was
Oculus was
who
the
was in Oculus? Oh yeah, that was
it. Was Katie Sackhoff?
Yeah,
Karen Gillan. Is it Gillan?
Karen Gillan.
Is it Gillan or Gillum?
Gillian. Yeah.
And then, her brother in the movie was Dick Grayson in Titans. What was his name?
Oh, Britton Thwaites.
Yes. Which I didn't realize that was him until I went back and like watched him. Or I was like on IMDb and I was looking at film credits. I was like, oh God, I forgot he was in that. I need to watch that movie again. I just didn't like it the first time I watched it. But like I said, everything else that man has done, TV series wise, especially, a lot of people didn't, were indifferent, I should say, about The Midnight Club.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more of a teenage kind of drama. And it still had some good horror elements in it. So I still enjoyed it. I didn't love Haunting of Bly Manor, but I didn't hate it.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I didn't watch Bly Manor. I need to. If I'm able, which we'll go ahead and say it. We're trying to get through Fall of House of Usher so that we can review it. And we can have like a spooky season episode. So there you go. Spoilers, if you actually sat through the entire episode here, you get to get a little glimpse at what we may be doing next week. But if I get through with the Fall of House of Usher with enough time, I'll go ahead and watch Bly Manor before we record so that I have a little more of a basis. Because I've only seen Haunting of Hill House and Midnight Mass, which Midnight Mass, good God, Midnight Mass was so good. So good. But anyway, that's for another time. Anything you want to say before we duck out of here, buddy?
I love you.
Oh, I love you too, pal. Thank you.
That's all.
And I love all of you for watching and listening. Thank you very much. I'll repeat like I said earlier. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, ring the notification bell, and share this video with your friends. If you're listening on the podcast, don't forget to rate and review us. That helps a lot. If you want to hear more from me and see more from me, check out Nerd Initiative. The link is below. If you want to check out our merch store and help out the show, that would be great. We have our new design on there for Silver Screen Scoundrels of That's How You Get Demons. That is on there in honor of the terrible Exorcist Believer movie that just came out. So with all that said, thank you for your support. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. It is late for Ian. I have been Derek. This has been the Paperweight Entertainment Podcast, and we will see you next time.